Excuse me, I would like to remind all participants that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Angela. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the NCSC monthly call on the 6th of May, 2014. On the call today, we have Rafik Damak, Olivier Kwame, Magali Pizzello, Rudy Vansnick, Heather Leeson, Klaus Stoll, Avi Doria, Susan Payne, Brendan Kirby's, Bill Drake, and Amir Al-Sadir. From staff, we have Glenn Sanelli and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Rafik.
Thank you, Natalie. So, thanks for everybody for joining today's call, which is open to NCAG members. So, I think it's important to to remind this. So, as usual, this monthly call happened just before the GNSO call, which will be in Thursday. And so, as usual, we will follow. We will start by going through the GNSO Council agenda itself to review if there is any motion, and then we discuss with our GNSO counselor and give them advice and feedback, and then we can go to the item regarding the update from ICANN working groups, panels, expert groups, and so on, then the open comment, and we end up with any other business. You have the agenda in the screen. If you you want to add an item, so please tell me. Understand that I received some suggestion in the mailing list to add to any other business, so we'll see if we can we can cope with those added at the end. So, okay. Yes, that's what I was saying. Starting with Jenna, so if you have any comment, please. Tell me so, otherwise we can start with the first item. Starting with the GNSO agenda itself. Natalie, can we just click on the GNSO agenda and share it in the screen, please?
Of course, just give me a minute.
Thanks, Natalie. So, as the first item, it's more, and I think, in the consent agenda, there was some changes. I think there will be some change in the data and the metrics for policy making known PDP working group. And I think the council will just confirm new chair and co-chairs, and I see that we have two NCAG members there, Rudy and Olivier, so I think there is no really any issue for this item, and also that Avery will be confirmed as a member of the GAG and GNSO consultation group. So I guess we don't have any issue with this consent agenda. It's more, I think, an administrative task from the council just to appoint new chairs and members in those groups. So the first, I think the first really substantive item is about the motion specification 13 of to the new GTLD registry agreement. Sorry for this for this title, which can be obscure to most of the people here in the call, but I think a few days ago, Amr Sadr, our GNSO councillor, shared information about this motion, and maybe he can introduce it to us and explain what kind of issue, why it may or not matters to the non-commercial, and what he thinks that we should vote in this case. Amr, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi Rafiq, this is Amr. Well, this motion is basically a way for the GNSO Council to vote on a response to the ICANN board, because about maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, they sent us a letter asking us to give them our take on the specification 13 to the registry agreement that they published and resolved, which basically says that .brand registries can pick three registrars to act exclusively as resellers of domain names under their .brand top-level domains. And this, the problem here is that it is this specification 13 to the registry agreement is conflicting with a recommendation that came out of a working group back in 2007 that led to the language in the registry agreement specifying that registries cannot show any sort of bias or bias towards any ICANN-accredited registrars, and that they have to treat them all equally. So it would seem that this specification is conflicting with that recommendation coming out of the GNSO, and which was adopted and resolved at the time, and indeed exists in the current registry agreement in two places, as one of the contractual clauses, as well as in the code of conduct at the end of the registry agreement. This has brought up a lot of mixed emotions amongst lots of people. From one perspective, which is the policy perspective, and the other perspective, which is the process, where the ICANN board basically says, okay, this was a policy that was developed through the GNSO process, and we're going to go ahead and create a new policy that is conflicting with that. And that's really a separate issue from the substantive policy issue. Personally speaking, from a policy perspective, I don't think it's a bad policy. It doesn't affect non-commercial registrants in any way that I see, and it allows these .brand top-level domains to act in a way that I think is really should be left up to them.
Excuse me, Ms. Kleiman joins. Thank you.
Because you have to consider that these are closed TLDs; they're not open to the public. So these brand registries are basically both the registries and they and their business associates are the only registrants who can use them. But still, from a process perspective, I really have to say that I'm not happy about this at all. I think it sets a dangerous precedent, and the GNSO has been asking the ICANN board to respect the GNSO process for a long time now, and now that they finally come around and saying, okay, we're not going to pass this policy until we get your opinion on whether it's conflicting with GNSO policy recommendations or not, I don't think it's a good idea for the GNSO Council as the managers of this process to go ahead and say, okay, we acknowledge that this decision is conflicting with a GNSO policy recommendation that was passed 7 years ago. Yes, we do acknowledge this, but it's okay. We're going to ignore that fact. I think that's a bad idea, and I think that's bad management of the process, and I think it's ridiculous. And if you see the way the motion is drafted, that's pretty much what it says. Like I said, there are a lot of mixed feelings on this, even from a process perspective, because, well, I'm not sure, but 7 years ago, the process seemed to be very different than what it is now. I'm not fully aware of all the conversations that took place back then. There seemed to have been some discussions in the working group that came up with this recommendation 19 on the registries as not being allowed to differentiate between ICANN accredited registrars. Some discussions that might have been relevant to this case. I can't really see that. All I see is the recommendation that came out and what is included in the registry agreement, and it all seems pretty clear-cut to me. And for the GNSO Council to vote on this motion and approve the ICANN board specification, I think then that would be a pretty clear case where the GNSO Council is not doing the job it's supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be managing and defending the GNSO process, not telling the ICANN board it's okay for you guys to go ahead and make policy when we don't think that this policy is a bad idea. And I think it's really strange to have people, especially in the commercial stakeholder group, who think that this is a good idea because it affects their brand holders who are incidentally opposed to the new GTLD program to begin with, and now they're their own registries and their own registrants. But for them right now to say that this is okay when just a month or two ago they wanted to basically crowdsource a campaign on how the ICANN CEO and ICANN leadership is bypassing the bottom-up policy development process, but now they're going back on this because it suits their purposes and it'll achieve their goals. I think it's all pretty ridiculous, and I can't see myself in good conscience voting for this motion at all. Thanks.
Thanks, Omar. That's quite an exhaustive explanation, and it's clear there is at least a process problem here, and I think we always care about this part. It will be good to hear other GNSO counselors, and they see that Avri raised it already around. Yes, Avri, please go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Rafiq. This is Avri. So I agree with Amr completely on the process issue, and I don't know that there's much more to be said about that, but that one, you know, hits the principal level. We have argued long since that STEM staff cannot, you know, contravene policy decisions, and this one is clearly black and white. So I think the process issue, there's no doubt. I disagree with Amr on the substance, and this wouldn't come out in this vote, but if we were to take up a policy development process on this, things I would look for is .brand unique in this notion, because we'll be creating a policy not only for these, but an ongoing policy. Would this also apply to another kind of single use? Could this be applied to a geographical that wanted to basically pick three? And why wouldn't it apply to a geographical or even an NGO that wanted to give all of its wanted to keep it inside in that registrations were available for its members? For example, I'm a member of the ACLU. If I could get an Avri.ACLU, if they were to apply for that, I would be very happy. So, and other organizations could indeed, ACM, what have you, could decide that they wanted that as a perk of being a member. So, if we're going to have this kind of exception to the policy of all registrars are treated equal, then we really do need to have it fully considered. And the last point is, I don't even think it's necessary at the moment, because the registry can create, first of all, the registry can become a registrar. All it has to do is promise to obey the rules. Beyond that, they can create a set of registrar agreement requirements for the way in which this is done that would limit, you know, the number of registrars. True, it wouldn't limit it to three or to any self-selected group, but it would limit to a small subset of those willing to meet their requirements. So, you know, I don't even think it's needed. Beyond that, there's also RCEP process. So there's lots of ways to get exceptions, and I don't think it's needed. And beyond that, it's a bad idea. And if we do a PDP, it needs a broader issue exploration. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Just trying to understand you. With such exception, there is a possibility for gaming for those registry, if I'm not mistaken.
There's always a possibility for gaming in ICANN. Every rule we make opens up a new game. That is just the opposite, and there's no rule we can define that won't create a new game.
Okay, thanks, Avery. So we have Klaus, Kathy, and Amr in the queue. So, Klaus, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Klaus, for the record. I basically, in principle, agree with both Avery and Amr. The only two very short observations I would like to make is that there is, in a way, a policy argument, because nothing will hinder a brand at a later stage to open up. And the other one is just an observation which might connect to with the gaming argument, is I am absolutely surprised about how much effort by the Dot brands has been put into the specification number 30. And I'm quite simply suspicious that there is something behind it which we don't even see yet at the moment. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Klaus. Kathy?
Hi. This is really interesting. I'm also getting an echo. Can everybody hear me now? Okay, these comments are coming from completely outside because I'm not there in the council to hear the discussion. But if the brands can do what they want to do anyway by becoming a registrar or by just using you know, the diversity of registrars, have you guys talked to the brands? You know, does somebody want to explain to them that that's why you're opposing and that you think you could, they can do it anyway? It might, it might create some goodwill, and that may be something we could use for something later on. I know we don't use, I don't know, it just might be interesting. It's interesting to hear that they could do this anyway. So when you vote it down, to talk to them about it might, again, create a bridge, some goodwill that can be used for another issue later on. Just a thought. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Amr, maybe you can respond to that.
Yeah, hi, Kathy. This is Amr. We did have someone from the Brand Registries Group, which is sort of a group representing all the brand registries, attend the last council call, and he made his case, and we explained ours. We've also had some to and fro over email with them, and I think it was made clear to them, not just by us, but by other councillors as well, that although we may sympathize from a policy, from a substantive perspective, from a process perspective, it makes it very difficult. There are other considerations regarding the brand registries as well, where they've been making a huge effort on getting all this done, and apparently this has been in the works for a little over a year. This is the first I'm hearing about it, to be honest, and there is a concern from some on the GNSO Council. I think that's influenced the way this motion was drafted, and it's also influenced, it's going to influence to a great extent how councillors are going to vote. Because from one hand, on one hand, a lot of councillors want, and I'm talking about councillors outside the NCSG, not just councillors here on this call, but a lot of councillors do want to uphold the principle of defending the GNSO policy development process. On the other hand, they don't want the brand registry group and its members to say, okay, we've tried to do this for a while now, it's not getting done, it's going back to the GNSO Council. There seems to be some concern about the brand registry group members losing faith in the GNSO, and this concern was conveyed to me, at least, and I find it to be, well, it's just not something I'm too worried about, to be honest. I don't want them to lose confidence in the GNSO process. I would like the GNSO process to be stronger, and in a little chat I had with Jonathan Robinson, the GNSO Council Chair, I did tell him that, you know, right now there are some projects ongoing in the GNSO, like in the Policy and Implementation Working Group, that are trying to address this sort of concern where you have something that, or you could have some sort of process that is not as lengthy and as exhaustive as a PDP on something that is not as, perhaps, that doesn't perhaps need as much work done on it as a PDP, which is being called Policy Guidance, and this is being developed in the Policy and Implementation Working Group, but we're not there yet. So right now, if you want to go through the GNSO process, you have to go through a PDP. And I think this message was conveyed to the brand registries. I still think that a lot of the people who are opposed to this motion, opposed to this in principle, are still going to vote for it. And my impression is that if we as NCSG vote against it, whether purely on a process basis or not, I think we may possibly be the only ones to vote against it. I would be happy to be surprised by that. The registrars have been very vocal against this specification in the registry agreement, but I'm guessing they're going to go ahead and vote for it, though. So, Kathy, yes, we did talk to them. They talked to us. I wish I could help them out in this specific situation, but I don't feel that it is right to do so. Not like this. Thanks. I'm sorry, this is Armour again. I just wanted to add, because of my comment in the chat about gaming the process to this, especially if brand TLDs decide at some point to go public and let anyone register their top-level domains, this point was raised by the registrars on the council list. I personally fail to see the correlation between this and the gaming issue. I think Klaus also said that he has doubts about this. Klaus, you can please correct me if I'm mistaken. But, yeah, I think if I can see how brand TLDs can just go ahead and game the process no matter how many registrars they're using to register their services. This is really an issue of opening up closed TLDs. It's not an issue of how many registrars you have selling your domain names under that TLD. On the other hand, I also agree with Avi that this specification is not necessary at all because, okay, if the registries can't control the number of registrars that are selling domain names under the TLDs, the registrants can surely pick what registrars they want to do business with. And so the registrants themselves, who are the registries and their associates, can pretty much just decide that they're only going to do business with a specific registrar or a limited number of a few registrars. And it really makes this specification quite unnecessary, and this whole policy and this whole rule pretty moot. And I think there's going to be a lot of damage done to the process for no really good policy reason. Well, that's all from me now. Thanks.
Thank you, Amar. Okay. So I think we spent some chunk of time here discussing this topic. I would like to hear if there is any comment from other general counselor and also from NCAG members, and so we can get to, I guess what I see till now is mostly to vote against, but just I would like to listen to others, counselor and also NCAG member, if they have any comment. Yes, Kathy?
Thanks, Rafiq. I just wanted to thank Amar and Avery and anyone else who's working so hard on this issue for giving it so much time. It sounds like it's taken a lot of time, and what you're saying is very well reasoned. So, and particularly if the brands and the IPC know why you're voting, good luck. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. We trust Skelton now, Genesis Council, to do a lot of work on the Genesis and before of all the ongoing policy discussions. Okay. Sorry, please, you don't speak, please just mute your line. Yeah, thanks. I guess we said, look, that the councillor will vote against this motion. We should then move to the next item, which is not the motion, but just discussion about internet governance issue, and it's in relation to the formation of a cross-community working group to work on the transition from NTIA. So it's about the IANA transition. So it should not be, confused with the existing cross-community working group on internet governance. I think my understanding that is a proposal from it will be starting initiated between CCNSO and GNSO, but I will come more details and update from GNSO Council if they have more information about this cross-community working group, how it will be chartered, how if it will be open to everybody and so on, such kind of details. Just to check, is it the first time that the GNSO Council will discuss this issue, or it was discussed previously in the mailing list? Yes, Amar, please go ahead.
Hi, Rafiq, this is Amar. I don't recall the GNSO Council having any discussions about this on the mailing list, but we did discuss it briefly in Singapore. We discussed it twice, I think, during the wrap-up session and earlier in the joint meeting with the CCNSO. I think there are some on council who would like the GNSO to have some sort of role. This hasn't really been defined. I personally don't think that's a very good idea. I don't see the GNSO council as having a necessary role in this cross-community working group, and I don't see the CCNSO Council as supposedly having one either. I think if this is going to be a true cross-community working group, that it should be more on the, on the levels of the group. So you should have folks from the different, for example, within the GNSO, folks from the different stakeholder groups or constituencies making their points directly. I'm not sure how or why the GNSO Council itself would have some sort of role in this cross-community working group. Others may disagree with me, and to be honest, my opinion is not set in stone. I just don't see it right now. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. Yes, Avery, please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Avery speaking. I guess I tend to have the opposite opinion on this one. I tend to think that the GNSO and the GNSO Council as its policy representative do indeed have a issue on this and should be participants at a very high level in this, because they are the ones that recommend the policies for GTLDs. And so they are indeed one of the interested parties. And as such, I think that all of our constituencies and stakeholder groups are indeed community members and users and registrants, and that we're definitely part of the the community that has to comment and have a part in it. But I certainly don't see representation, for example, in the higher level groups. At that level, I see it rather, you know, there's IETF, there's IANA, there's GNSO, there's CCNSO, and others. So I actually tend to have the view that it is a GNSO role at the interested parties level, but that at, you know, the community level, it's stakeholder groups, communities, individuals, you know, it's multi-stakeholder, fully at the next layer down. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. I'm not sure what are the concerns of Farmer. I thought that this Coros Community Working Group will play a kind of community-led initiative to discuss about the IANA transition. So the Genesis is a part of the community, and it's one, I think, impacted party with its different stakeholder groups. So, just to make sure, I think it's just in an early stage, and you are still discussing about the charter and to see if other supporting organization and advisory committee will join this effort or not. And I guess it's depending what kind of outcome of the ongoing ICANN proposal regarding the process. Yes, Amar, please go ahead.
Hi, Rafiq. This is Amar. Yeah, I think Avri made some pretty decent points. I think my concerns are specific to two points. One is that I would like to think that the GNSO Council has a very specific mandate of management of the GNSO's PDP, which is the policy development process, and not necessarily a representative role to the GNSO on broader issues. Something like this, I think there's a lot of expertise outside of the council present in the membership of the GNSO, and I would personally like to see I would like to see people who are not on council representing stakeholder groups and constituencies when and where appropriate. My other concern is really the context under which this discussion took place in Singapore when the joint GNSO-CCNSO council meeting, where there seemed to be some sort of desire to have the GNSO and CCNSO lead this cross-community working group. If you recall, when this came up, it was really a problem with the internet governance cross-community working group on the fact that it wasn't chartered, and there was an issue of who was leading it, especially if it's going to discuss issues that are relevant to the IANA transition or not. And it seemed to me that the folks in the room at the time were saying, okay, we want to take leadership of the cross-community working group that's going to start discussing this specific issue, as opposed to this other cross-community working group that is discussing internet governance stuff. I just somehow felt that was wrong. You know, you're saying there's no charter on the Internet Governance Cross-Committee Working Group, and we don't know what is in and out of scope of the discussion there. The IANA transition thing, we think it should take place on another cross-committee working group, and it should be chartered properly with proper cross-constituency representation. But then on the other hand, these folks are saying, okay, let's have the GNSO Council, the CCNSO Council take the lead on it. Well, has the rest of the ICANN community agreed that these two groups should take the lead or not? Which is kind of also why I sort of took a step back and said, wait a minute, maybe, you know, we should have a broader community discussion. And in that sense, maybe it's the stakeholder group and constituency chairs who should be leading this effort rather than GNSO counselors who are supposed to be managing the GNSO's PP, the policy development process, not specifically this issue, which is also related to policy, but it was just my feeling at the time, but like I said, it's not set in stone, and I'm happy to defer to whatever the rest of the membership feels is the right course of action to take here. Thanks.
Thank you, Hamad. To be clear here, you mean that this cross-community working group membership is supposed to be restricted only to GNSO counselor?
No, that's not what I meant at all. It was only suggested, you know, to get the process started at the beginning, you know, let's have the GNSO Council and CCNSO Council get the whole thing started, and then it would sort of take a life of its own later on. My point at the time was, if you're objecting to certain groups starting a process, then maybe you should get everyone involved at the ground level. So it's not about the council the membership in the working group being restricted to GNSO counselors. It's just about who would really get it going. And from a GNSO perspective, I thought it was more appropriate to have stakeholder group and constituency chairs involved. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Ahmad. Just about also because you mentioned the cross community working group and internet governance. So it has now a draft charter and should be shared soon with all supporting organization and advisory committee when we finalize it at the working group level. And it's clear that the IANA transition is out of scope. Just we will focus on the internet governance issue. Someone needs to initiate this effort. So I think this the same issue for this cross-community working group on IANA transition, so someone needs to start. Well, which matters is what charter you will get, and in particular, you need to have an open membership to ensure balance and representation within the GNSO. Not GNSO, sorry, within the ICANN community. Okay. I see we have Subi raising her hand. Yes, Subi, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Hello.
Yes.
I just had a question. I wanted to understand, since this item refers to discussions and next steps, and pardon my ignorance, but when the announcement was made, we listed it with a lot of hope, and then there's equal amount of question and concerns as to where is it that we're going to go and how is it that we'll address this issue in a manner which is time-bound and timely, and that gets results. So when we're talking about next steps, if we could just get a sense of what is the conversation that has happened, is there a structure in place, have people volunteered to set this up? And I can't agree more with the item that mentions clearly that we'll have to reach out to the broader community seeking input. And I can have done that, and it has done that rather well, but how is it that we'll integrate that input with NetFundia? We have an interesting experiment, but is there a process in place, and what is it that we're doing right now, at the moment, as far as the transition question is concerned? Is there work that has already happened, and how do we integrate the various inputs that will come in? If somebody could address that, thank you.
Thanks, Subi. Honestly, I had some problems to hear you well, but Okay, if someone wants to respond. Okay, I think, so basically, trying to respond here, this is just an, effort to initiate a cross-community working group, so it depends what kind of charter it will have, and usually it should be open, I mean, to members, I mean, from ICANN community and outside ICANN community. I don't know what kind of status they will have there. So all this kind of detail, I guess, it's under discussion, and it can be an opportunity to have other outside ICANN joining this working group. But since it's still in under discussion, I think that kind of feedback that our genocidal counselor can bring to the discussion for the Genocidal Council call on Thursday. Is this okay for you? I mean, I'm not sure. I couldn't hear you well, Suvi, but I'm trying to respond to your questions. Okay.
Thank you. That was indeed helpful. I will type the entire question out as well. Thank you.
Thanks. So, okay, this is kind of, I think it's just the beginning of the discussion, and we will have more information soon, and then we may need to act in the term if we need to employ some members or to encourage others to join and so on. So it's just kind of topic to follow up. Okay, Avery. Okay, so if we can move to the next item, which is about the review of GNSO. It's always a funny exercise to review the GNSO structuring and go in all the procedure and the process of the GNSO. And my understanding, there will be GNSO working review working party to be formed. Also there will be a webinar tomorrow to explain this process. But I think our GNSO counselor had several discussion about, and it will be good to have some updates about this process and what we should do, to respond to this review. Avery, I think, yes, Maria, please go ahead. Maria? Maria, can you unmute yourself?
I'm so sorry. I forgot to take myself off mute. Yeah.
Okay, so you raised your hand, so you have the floor. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So just one thing to add about the GNSO review. I've looked over all of the papers because it was the RFP for people to provide the research for their that the review is based on was published on the 22nd of April. I had a look at it, and it basically just says that the review criteria are going to be decided by ICANN, and they're based on a number of bullet points. And I think if we want to have input to this, that we really should look at, saying, well, basically, does ICANN, the staff, provide the review criteria, or will there be community input, because I think that's something that we should, really try and have some input into. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Marie. So you mean that the criteria is still under discussion and drafted by the ICANN staff?
Well, yeah, that's what it looks like. At the moment, it just says the review further. I'll just put a URL to give so people can see it themselves. But it basically gives a bullet point of maybe 8 things, and they talk about stuff like communication, staff support, participation. But it just says, you know, further information on the criteria will be provided, and it's not clear to me how that those criteria will be developed. I mean, they should be community developed, but it looks like it's just sort of magically going to materialize from the staff. So it's not at all clear how it is.
Thanks, Maria. And I think there was, the question is, if they are still working, the timeline is quite ambitious. We are going to start by July the process. And, I mean, with all ingoing things, it will be really complicated. So we have Avery and then David in the queue. Yes, Avery, please go ahead.
Thank you. Avery speaking. Okay, so just before this meeting, a couple hours before this meeting, there was that GNSO Council Review Committee, or what we're calling it. Maybe it was a room party. I don't know what name we gave ourselves. But this is a group put together from volunteers in the council that because there's been this, Jennifer's had this project going where Jennifer has been interacting with the sick, and I don't know whether, you know, what level interaction she has with them, but basically she's been liaison, as I understand it, to the sick on this issue. And just recently, working committee at the request of the sick is being formed. So we had a first discussion of that today, and in fact, Jen's going to report on it to the meeting. I can give you a quick update on that if that would be a good thing. Would that be a good thing?
Sure. Probably. Yes,
okay. So anyhow, this working party notion is something that the SIC came up with as the liaison between the review and the GNSO. They're planning on what this is called a 360 review, but in really this is a review that it will be reviewed by the board, it will be reviewed by the peer organizations, and it will be self-reviewed by the GNSO. So the whole community is going to get into this, you know, all the way around, top to bottom, et cetera. One of the questions that we've got is, yes, the questions will be developed in consultation with the GNSO through the liaison group, assuming that the GNSO thinks it's an okay way to do it. I'm not sure what happens if we don't think it's an okay way to do it, but certainly the question is going to be asked to the council, is this an okay way to do things? And I'm sure Jen will explain it much better than I'm doing at the moment. One of the notions we brought up in the meeting is that, but we'll also do sort of a supplemental self-review where we'll certainly take the questions that are the agreed-upon questions between SIC and the world, and but we can also add our own supplemental questions that we would do our own analysis on, this coming out of the sort of general feeling that many of us have that all these reviews get done by external people who know nothing about what we're about, so that we should also have our own accompanying, you know, self-review that goes beyond just our portion of the 360 review. So all the questions is still to be discussed. As far as I can tell, SIC is giving us, you know, full multi-stakeholder rights in the negotiation of our review. So the GNSO Council is going to be asked, do they agree with the approach? Should we extend invitations to broader community to participate or observe the working group? For example, the brand registry group has asked for opportunity to participate. Now, even though they're not a, you know, registry stakeholder interest group even, let alone a constituency, I tend to think perhaps the observers, but this whole notion that the brand registry group has established itself as an outside powerhouse that's going to motivate what the GNSO does is sort of problematic, but that's beside the point. Asking if at least each stakeholder group should have at least one person participating in this so that, you know, there is a fully rounded notion, but trying to keep the group manageable, so how many at most. So, as Rafiq said, there's a tight timeline. This group will meet weekly up until London to get our initial part done, and then going on for London, we'll see what's needed. So that's the general, as far as it's gotten, and that's what will be presented tomorrow by Jen, done much nicer, I'm sure, or politer anyway, in the council meeting tomorrow. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery, for the presentation. Yes, probably she will present with much, with some slides and so on. So just to try, I'm trying to understand. It will be first kind of self-review, and we will have to negotiate, I mean, to discuss or negotiate with the SIC. I'm here just talking about at the stakeholder level. And then we will have kind of external review, because I think that there was kind of request for a proposal to get some third party to do that work, and then it will be selected soon, maybe in June. So I'm just trying to entangle all
the independent examiner.
Sorry, Avi, can you just please repeat?
Independent examiner, you're right. Sorry, I left that out, but that's in the written part.
Okay. Thanks. Yes, David?
Actually, all I was going to say was pretty much talk about the existence of that committee and say that, there were council volunteers. I've been drafted onto it as vice chair. But as I missed the meeting, I wouldn't have been able to say anywhere near as much useful as Avery did. So.
Yeah, thank you, David. Kathy?
Yeah, I have a question about the timing of all this. Is this something we have to do, this GNSO review? Where's the timing coming from? Does it have to be done now? Seems like a lot of people have a lot of things on their plate. And especially for the volunteer stakeholder groups like ours, this is really stretching people really thin. So just thought I'd ask. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. I think because it was supposed to be done more earlier, but it was somehow delayed, and now we end up with a lot of ongoing discussion about policy, but also about IANA transition, and then we will have about accountability and so on. And so, yes, there will be overload, but yes, that's a big question for us: how we can handle this this workload. But yeah, we don't have the choice now. Okay, Avery, if my understanding is correct, you are the only NCAG member of this GNSO review working party?
I don't think so. I think Rudy was there. I think Klaus was there. I think you were there.
Me?
Or am I thinking? Am I getting three meetings today confused? But I thought there were more people there than just me.
I think you were talking about the ad hoc call with NCAG and Alex.
Yeah, forgive me. Too many meetings in one day. I forget who was at which one. I guess I was the only one there, yeah.
Okay.
Except for David,
because
he was supposed to be there.
Okay. So, that's understanding. I think it's now only GNSO counselor there. But anyway, please just keep us updated. I think it's one of the urgent tasks. That's what we have to handle from now till ICANN meeting in London. A lot of excitement and joy. Okay, please, any comment in this item or any question? Okay, the next item is quite, how to say, it's quite technical. It's about IDN and variant and label generation rule. So I guess it's an update. It's one happening there, but if just someone can make really quick brief, because I don't think that we have really the time to discuss about this now, but just, I mean, to be sure what's the purpose of this update and for genital cancer. Yes, David. Let's go ahead.
So all I know is it's an update on IDNs and LGRs and all of that stuff. It's by a new staff member. We were actually in the GNSO leadership call today. We were just discussing whether or not we even think it's going to be useful to do it. Or it's probably the first item that'll get cut if we run short of time, and we'll see how we go. But clearly, the IDN and LGR related issues are pretty complicated. We were actually querying how much we could really usefully get through with 10 minutes. And remember, this is just a staff update from a new staff member, so it's nothing we need to discuss in this call.
Thanks for the confirmation, David. That's good. Okay, so we can go to the next item then, which is about the Who is the studies. Maybe just for those who are new, there were several Who is the studies commissioned by the GNSO. I'm not sure about the numbers. Some of them were already published and put for public comment. And I think this will be the last one. So I guess this more update from those who are following the WHO is issues from NCAG. Maybe Amr has insight of about this. Amr?
All right, thanks, Rafiq. Top of my head right now, I imagine that this update, Mary Wong is going to give an update to the GNSO Council on the studies, and there were two studies that were conducted, and NCSG submitted comments on both of them, and there was I saw a response to at least one of our comments, the one on the Who is Abuse study. I'm not sure what sort of update Mary is going to give the council. I read the response to the NCSG comment on the Who is Abuse study. I can't recall right now what the response said. But I really don't have much to say on this. I'm not particularly aware of what is going to be discussed in this agenda item. Thanks.
Thanks, Amo. It sounds like just an update, so it will be okay to collect or just to summarize what will be discussed there and share with the rest of the group. And I think Kathy wants to comment here. Yes, Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing what Mary says, and definitely please pass the links on, because if our comments were not taken into account, we may need to file again. We all know these studies were kind of commissioned, and they're going to be used in lots of different ways, so we've got to make sure they're at all levels, we've got to make sure that they're fair and that the reporting is fair, and that the comments, when they're submitted, are taken into account and advisement. Most of these studies, I'm trying to remember them, were pretty good. And we did submit extensive comments, as Amr noted. So I look forward to hearing what the responses were. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. I think it's the outcome and how this kind of study will be used will be, I mean, will have influence later on. And I mean, if we are there will be other studies maybe, or so how they can be used in the policy development. Okay, so if there is no any comment here, I'll try to go through the agenda quickly. So if you have any comment of any question, please. Please go ahead. Don't be shy. It's an opportunity to ask other and to ask for clarification. Okay. So the next item, it's about the planning for London. I guess it's just kind of more discussion about the schedule for the GENESO in ICANN meeting, and I will take the opportunity here just to there was some discussion about possible change and then the format of the public forum, which always which usually happen in the Thursday of an ICANN meeting, and having some session about the ANA transition and the accountability. But just let's start maybe to get some update from David about the planning for London from GENESO standpoint. Yes, David, please go ahead.
Yeah. So this is, they're not, I think this is mostly going to be planning about the internal GENESO and council sort of stuff for, so pretty much what are we going to talk about on the, you know, the, what do we want to talk about on the weekend sessions, like which members of senior staff do we want to get to talk to if we can, which other, how we get, you know, what are we going to do about, you know, you only change the way we meet with the CCNSO or the GAC or other groups we meet with, that sort of thing. So, I mean, it'll be useful to councillors and those who actually go to the council sessions. But I don't know that it's going. We may. I think this is sort of internal council stuff rather than talking about the whole change to the public forum issue and things like that, which we might handle. I'm not sure. But that's just what I'm guessing, because, I mean, basically Volker's doing the job that I did for Singapore, which is just to sort of help the staff, well, direct the staff in putting together the details of the agenda for the council-related stuff.
Thanks, David. So, okay, it's just, I guess, just more still planning discussion, but I think most of the members saw the question in the list about the change for the public forum. It was a question asked by Steve a few days ago to the leaders, the leaders of the SO and ACEs, if it's acceptable to make some changes in the public forum session and to have a session just about the IANA transition and accountability. People reacted. They expressed concern that, we are having many changes and we have difficulties because Friday was removed from the usual ICANN meeting schedule, which make it more difficult to adjust or to have session. So Steve Crocker, the chair of the ICANN board, came with a proposal for two options. The first one is just to keep, to have, if I'm not mistaken, two sessions in the morning, and then the public forum, and then the ICANN board meeting, or just keep the usual format, and to have decision about IANA somewhere Monday, and this kind of be risky to be in clash with the high level panel. So, seeing from discussion, I think many people supporting option one, but. Any comment on this? But I saw some discussion and other. Yes, Amr, please go ahead.
Hi, Rafiq, this is Amr. To be honest, I think I might have missed the earlier call for input on this item. I only started paying attention to it when Steve sent those two options that were based on feedback, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But he did present us with these two options and then said that he needs a response within 2 days, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think this is a bit tight. And, yeah, like I said on this, I think both options are pretty crappy, and I have issues with them. I would have thought it would have made more sense to sort of combine the ICANN accountability and the IANA transition issues together, because there is a lot of crossover between these two issues at this point in time. I think that would have been a more feasible solution right now. But as a one-time gig with the London ICANN meeting, as opposed to limiting the time of the public forum, I think the public forum is really important, and they presented the two options, so it's pretty ridiculous to pick one and not the other. So I guess we're really stuck with this one option, which means the public forum will have to be shorter than it normally is. Thanks. Am I still on the call? Anyone there?
I can hear you, Amr.
Yeah, I hear you, but nothing else.
Did we lose Rafiq?
Bill's got his hand up. Bill, why don't you go ahead? Bill, Natalie says that Rafiq's been dropped off the call, so why don't you just go ahead?
it looked like Bill, he sent something out that he might have been losing sound too.
Yeah, I can still hear you all fine.
Hey, guys, with apologies, I have to drop off the call. This is Kathy. So thank you so much for going.
Hello again. Sorry, guys. I had some issues, but I am back here to the call. So we were discussing about the planning. I guess we can maybe go with option one for now. But Natalie, can you just please go back to the
first... Connected a few minutes.
Hello? Hello?
I'm still here. I can still hear you.
Okay, so... Sorry, there was kind of confusion. I see that Bill wants to speak. Yes, Bill, please go ahead. Bill Drake, you want to speak?
You're on mute.
Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, there's some confusion. Okay. So, I'm not sure if Bill wants to speak or not, but anyway. So, back to the first agenda, since we went through the Genesis agenda. For in the second item, we usually try to cover, to get some updates in what's going on in several working groups. Okay. Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, Stephanie.
If we are getting back to the agenda that I see in the Adobe room, I'm happy. I was just afraid we now have only about 40 minutes, and I think we need consensus on my proposal that we arrange a privacy meeting in London. And if that's okay with everybody, then we can go ahead with a little group of volunteers and get that organized. But it's something that requires a decision, I would suggest.
Yes, Stephanie, that's under discussion in the policy committee, and I think I see support there, so maybe the policy committee can go ahead and make decision, but we can discuss here. So it's we can discuss in the any other business. I put London meeting, so is it okay for you?
Yep, we can discuss offline. That's all I wanted to make sure that we had agreement here so we don't slow down. Thanks.
Stephanie, I just said that we have in any other business a point about London meeting, so that we'll cover the privacy meeting there, so... That's why I was asking, is it okay for you? Tiffany, can you hear me? Okay. So, let's back to item three. We said it's kind of update on ICANN working group, expert group, and so on, just to get... briefing what's happening there. So starting with the proxy and privacy accreditation working group, we have several members involved there. It will be all nice to get more updates. It's one happening there. Maybe Amar, Maria, who else there? Stephanie. I think we have several members. So who want to volunteer, just can make kind of short overview what's happening there.
Rafiq, this is Amr. Kathy is the most active member on this working group from the NCSG. I don't know if she's still on the call or if she's dropped off. I haven't been attending for a couple of weeks. I've been a bit busy. So if one of the others, Stephanie, David, and Maria, would like to fill us in, that would be great. Thanks.
Maria?
Hi, this is Stephanie. Kathy had to drop off the call. So basically, we managed to get some. It's been really a very active and at times acrimonious group. They really quite hostile. And the last call, this morning's call, was very calm, and we managed to get some sort of consensus that there should not be a determination of whether you're a commercial entity or an individual as to a basic eligibility requirement for privacy proxy services. It ain't over yet. However, I think what we have to make sure we do is it looks like there could be something like a show of votes offline. And we've already had the experience where law firms magically show up with four members from the same law firm supporting each other. So we need every NCSG member we've got to get in there, and that's on the committee, of course, to get in there and support our position, because it's not clear to me. There's an awful lot of skulkers on that working group, and if they all show up and vote, then the consensus and discussion procedure we've been following is meaningless, just so that that's clear. So I think we're in a very serious watching period right now, although it looks like it's going okay. I don't know whether you want to take on every blow-by-blow of the things we've been fighting about. But basically, there appears to be a strategy on the part of the industries who care to load a pile of work onto the privacy proxy service providers. In other words, if you're going to do it, well, fine, but these guys have to have their data checked more often, and eventually that's going to price this service out of the market, because doing verification is expensive, you know? So is that enough of a debrief on that?
Thanks, Tiffany. Okay, so, well...
Can you still hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Just, I'm seeing,
okay.
I'm trying to see if,
I'm
if there is any question.
Can you hear me?
Just try.
Hello? Yes.
Hello. Yes, we can hear you, Stephanie. Just with trying to see if there is any question.
Hey.
Yes, Stephanie, we can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay.
Okay.
You were just stunned into silence by my frank and open discussion of what's going on.
Okay. Well, okay. Thanks for this update. I don't see any question here about. I think I will skip the point B. I don't think we have so much update here. Item C is about the survey. We shared the call a few weeks ago within our list to ask people to respond. And you, Stephanie, I think you already expressed some concerns about the design of the survey and so on. But do we still have time to respond, or it's already overdue? That's, I think, the question that we need to respond.
I believe the survey is still up there. I think they have 175 responses. That was the debrief we got at the EWG last week, which is quite a few. But, of course, until you know who it is that's responding, somebody might have had everybody in their company respond, you know? So
yes.
I think still it would be good to have more civil society folks responding if they could.
Okay, so we still have time. Maybe just we need to to send a reminder within the list for people to respond. And I guess the NCLG policy committee should work also in some response. Okay, Avery, I thought that you want to comment, but Avery. Okay.
No, I took my hand down because you answered my question.
Oh, I answered the question without knowing. Okay, that's nice. Yeah. So I think we need the reminder, and I think we'll push the NCLG policy committee to act for this survey. So we have Maria here and also Rudy. So as chair and alternate chair of the NCLG PC, they will handle this issue. So Maria and Rudy, can you please follow up? Okay, good. Thank you. Moving to item D, it was discussed already in the GNSO Council agenda, so we can skip it. I put this in item E. It's about the cross-community working group on internet governance draft charter. I'm going to suggest, because we have just 30 minutes left in this call, and I think we just need to really to respond to what we have. Some urgent task, then we can go back to the cross-community working group internet governance draft if we still have time. So moving to the item 4, which is about the open comment periods, and first about the IANA initial transition process draft. We had internet governance project and Article 19, they sent draft comment to be considered by the NCAG, and the deadline for the submission is the 8th of May. So I think Brendan can present here the comment, introduce it, and explain the main points. Brendan, can you speak?
Thanks. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, Brendan. I hear you well.
Great. Thank you. So Rafiq gave the basics on the comment that we've drafted for the IANA transition process to develop a proposal. The comment is due May 8th, so that's in about 48 hours. It's been up for comment for about 96 hours since late last week. So we raised two main points, and one is around the status and the composition of the proposed steering group, and then the second main point is an objection to the way the current scoping document that ICANN has provided and the process that it is proposing preempts a full discussion of the accountability implications of the IANA transition. With regard to the first point, we're basically in agreement with comments that were submitted by the Internet Architecture Board. The main points there were to divide the transition discussion and consensus development amongst the three respective communities that are impacted by the transition, that being ICANN for domain names, the RIRs for number resources, and IETF for protocol parameters. We also agree that the group responsible for convening the transition process should not be a steering group, as ICANN has suggested, but rather a lightweight coordination group that merely assembles the component pieces from the respective communities into a single transition proposal to give to the department. And then finally, we agreed with the kind of the process that the IAB recommended, requiring unanimous affirmative consensus amongst the respective communities, ensuring that the scope of the revised scoping document as well as the criteria specified by NTIA are in fact fulfilled, and then operating by rough consensus and publicly documenting any outlying views if full consensus can't be achieved, and reevaluating and altering the component proposals if rough consensus is not reached. Regarding the second point, in particular the objection to the way the scoping document and process might preempt a full discussion, we're basically concerned about the impact of the IANA transition on IANA's accountability. And ICANN has proposed to split this discussion into an IANA transition discussion and also an accountability discussion, two separate tracks, and we don't support that. We would like to see a full discussion of all options regarding accountability and separation of policy and implementation. And I won't go further into detail, and I just saw that Milton's joined the call, so maybe he might have something to add. But we think the positions that we've laid out in the comments are in large agreement with those being drafted and submitted by the CCNSO, also the commercial stakeholder group. And we're definitely not alone in the support of separating policy and implementation. I mean, that has been a point that's been raised by the department itself in its testimony to the U.S. Congress. The technical community has expressed that same issue in internet draft documents. And then finally, at NetMundial last week, the notion of separation of policy and implementation was raised by several parties, and something addressing this was included in the final outcome document. So we look forward to having any more comments. Several of us have been commenting on the document on Google Docs. If you do have any suggestions with proposed text, that would be fine, but they need to be submitted rather quickly since the document has already been up for 96 hours and we've been fiddling with it over that time. And I would ask that the policy committee endorse the document so it can be submitted on behalf of the NCSG. Thanks.
Thank you, Brendan. So just to clarify about the process, so the comment was submitted to the mailing list for the membership mailing list and the policy committee, and so the policy committee can act and to review the proposal and endorse it, so we can send it in time by the 8th of May. Some members of the policy committee already supported, I think it's Hammer and Avery. They can review and express their opinion and so on. The document itself, I think it's open for comment, and several people already made comments on it. So what we are looking now is kind of if we can have a support and endorsement in time and to move forward. So hopefully to send it as a NCAG statement. Okay. Any question about the process or to Brendan about the document itself, or if you want some clarification? I think Sun is asking you, Brendan, if there is any you'd like to make further comment. Since you are, and you, I think Milton and you are resolving the comment. So is there any deadline? Brendan? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Sorry, Rafiq. Yeah, the end of today would be the absolute latest that we'd be able to incorporate or address comments and incorporate proposed texts. So.
Okay. Thank you. So, which time zone? Let's say the close of the business day in the most latest, time zone. So you can always play on that. So let's say in the Pacific Daylight Time, something like that. Let's say that's the ICANN headquarter time zone. Yes, Avery, please go ahead.
Quick question. In order for this to end up an NCSG policy statement, in addition to the NCUC people that have commented and whatever in the PC, I believe we have yet to see an MPOC comment, so we'll still have that standard is to do we actually achieve NCSG consensus status on it, rough consensus. PC operates on rough consensus, but we've always, you know, that to get there, you need people from both constituencies. So hopefully MPOC will also provide a response on all of this in time. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Avery. I think Rudy...
Or maybe they have, then again, maybe they have already, and I missed.
I think Rudy commented in chat. He said that he will review the document, and hopefully he will comment by today or as soon as possible, I think. So, Rudy, can you confirm that?
Yes, Rafiq, Rudy speaking. We discussed this yesterday in our call, and we need to work out our document, our draft, later today. It will be available probably tomorrow morning.
So what you will make available tomorrow morning? I mean, you will discuss about supporting the statement, or you are working on another statement? I'm not sure what you are.
As yes, Rafiq, Rudy Van Smith speaking for the transcript. We had our call yesterday, and we are reviewing a little bit the text, so we will give you as we're the latest tomorrow morning.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rudy. Okay, I'm not sure. Avery, you want to comment again, or...? Okay, so let's go. Amr, yes? Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Amr. Although I think it would be great if we could get MPOC endorsement for this comment, the NCSG charter, as Avi mentioned, says that the policy committee acts on rough consensus, but the charter doesn't exactly define what rough consensus means. The only definition available for that, I guess, would be the GNSO working group guidelines, but I don't think we're using those either. I always thought of consensus being sort of the absence of disagreement in one way or another. I just say this because I have noticed that the NCSG policy committee takes forever to endorse statements that have already been drafted, such as this one and several others, in response to GNSO PDP working groups. Although I would encourage MPOC to submit a comment as soon as possible, I don't think that should slow us down as long as there's no disagreement on the policy committee for the comment. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Hammer. I think that was what Rudy committed is that they will respond by tomorrow morning. So, I think that's okay.
And so, isn't that past the deadline?
Huh?
Isn't tomorrow morning past the deadline, or am I mistaken?
Tomorrow, it's 7th, so the deadline is the 8th, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Ari, you want to speak?
Yeah, I do. Amr, I apologize for disagreeing with you yet again. I think that that passive agreement to rough consensus only counts when either the chair or the alternate chair has done a last call on the issue. So if Maria or Rudy were to have said, you know, okay, we've got this statement. Everyone, you know, will assume you're for it unless you speak within 24 hours, then I agree. Otherwise, I really think we are waiting for at least a positive voice from each of the constituencies, and we can't just presume it otherwise. And I know that's unfortunate, and I know that often gets in the way of things that I favor, being NCSG blessed. But I really think we need either a positive vote from both constituencies or a timed last call that is specifically speak now or it will be presumed agreement. But without one of those two, I just don't see how we can call it NCSG Policy Committee consensus. And so on a process point, I would be against calling it that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I don't think, I mean, we should discuss about the process. I think there is commitment from Rudy to respond by tomorrow. Other policy committee members, they should also vote as soon as possible after they review the document. So I think we will be in time. And the chair, the alternate chair of the BC will handle this. Yes, Milton, please go ahead.
Hear me?
Milton?
Yes? Can you hear me?
Looks you are so far. Can you...
Faintly over the typing, someone.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, if there's people here on the call who have issues and want to, or questions, they should make them now. It could speed things up. Why would you not take advantage of this opportunity?
Okay. Yes, Milton. So we ask people to, if they have, I mean, they can comment the document, or if they want to ask any question, they can do now. So we have a few minutes to do so. Any comment or question regarding the document? Okay. As Brendan said, so the deadline to get comment is the end of the day. And so... hopefully, if there is any question, you will get them and respond in time. And hopefully, by tomorrow, the NCAGPC can act to support or not the the statement. Okay. Is there any other comment on this this part or not? Okay, okay, we have just 60 minutes left in this call, and we have several items for any other business, starting with the follow-up for the Net Mondial London meeting with the proposal from Stephanie about the privacy meeting. And also request from Bill about the budget. So let's try to manage this. So as the follow-up from the Net Mondial, I think, I mean, this was a suggestion from Robin. Robin, you want to comment here, or so what you think about the follow up for Net Mondiale, or what you were suggesting? Okay, you don't have audio. Let's wait in when. So I saw several discussion in the chat, but let's go to with the London meeting. There was a proposal from Stephanie. Stephanie, are you still here in the call?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. So, this is the privacy meeting. The discussion started. Discussion started on the NCAG PC with your proposal. So, just maybe if you can, introduce it quickly, and I think it's. Is something that we need to act as soon as possible because the time, timing issue. So, Stephanie, okay. Please go ahead.
So, and I think Robin has already reached out to the privacy commissioners. Let me just outline the privacy things that we have on our plate right now. In London, we will have the EWG report. It's going to be pushed out from hell or high water, but it might be right before London. We have the recommendation for the anonymous credentials. A lot rides on that. We have volunteers to help work on that from within NCSG and outside NCSG. So we need to get that up and going just in case there's an overwhelming, oh, that's way too hard when the EWG report comes out. We have to prove it's doable. We have our comments to the board from the last meeting in Singapore that their privacy policy is not good enough. So, to be frank, I haven't been in there in the last week or so. I don't know whether anybody else has commented, but it's time to wrap that up and get a document that we can agree on to send to the board. We had, as usual, the usual knockdown, drag-out fights over privacy at the EWG, and I got quite upset. Which isn't the first time, of course. But I did get word from a board member that I'm finally getting through to them, and they realize it's maybe time for ICANN to give some serious thought to getting their Privacy Act together. So we need to be ready to tell them how they ought to get it together. So, okay. And then there was a third one. We need to thoroughly understand, and this will take probably us walking everybody through it when the EWG report is final, this whole notion of purpose-based access to data. It's not easy to understand, and we need to understand it, okay? So those are all the reasons why I thought a privacy meeting with some outside folks would be helpful. And, of course, there's also the registrar's fight over the data retention. And the latest letter, Peter Husting, the European Commissioner for the entire community, has written to them saying that the data retention directive was thrown out. That means for sure that your RAA agreement is illegal, so hello, what are you doing? And they haven't responded, of course. So I think we have the makings of a pretty interesting discussion and lots of things to put on a one-day workshop. And how long it takes ICANN to restructure itself, if we're going to make progress on complex policy issues, we need more than an hour at a time on it, you know? So that's basically what I've said. And I suppose with the policy committee and the folks that have already volunteered, I think we could muster quite a fair-sized little workshop in London because it's easy enough for people to get to. We have, of course, no funding, so we have to work within that no-funding envelope. But you never know. We might be able to find a source of funds. So is that a good enough kind of outline?
Thanks, Stephanie. Okay. For this event, as I explained, I will be happy to. I mean, we need to secure some room just in case as a placeholder. I think there was this, you know, the work on that ICANN privacy document that you started. We have that Etherpad. I think that just it needs to be edited and clean it. So I guess we can share it as soon as possible. But I hope that those who volunteered on this privacy issue, they do some comments and they do some edits. So if you please, you can handle that. And also, I think we can use that as maybe a concept note as suggested by Marilia, because we need kind of documents sometimes to explain what we are talking about privacy issue within ICANN, just kind of to introduce why it's important to those outside ICANN to understand why we are so concerned about several issues, like what you explained for the data retention and the registrar accreditation agreement. So does it make sense?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm still rounding up all the stupid things that ICANN does. I stumbled on one just last week. And this is the kind of thing that happens when you don't have anybody whose contract, whose accountability agreement as a staffer, in other words, when you don't have a privacy, a chief privacy officer. You know what the policy is for photographs now? We pay a photographer $1,200 a day to take photographs of all the events. They put them up, but they no longer put them up at ICANN. They make you sign up for Flickr to download those photographs for whatever purposes. And if you sign up to Flickr, you have to give them a cell phone number and your birth date. Now, that means that people globally who don't have cell phones are automatically running into a problem. If Flickr is blocked in your country, you're going to have a problem. And I, for one, don't give everybody my birth date anymore, thank you very much, because nobody questions me when I walk in to buy liquor, so they're not getting it. So, no, all joking aside, this is the kind of ridiculousness that ICANN is doing at every turn because they don't have a comprehensive policy. So that may not be the biggest single issue. The bigger ones is the data retention and, you know, closing European law, having no due process for lawful access, all that. Those are bigger issues. But I'd like to have a master list of here's the 14 things you guys are screwing up right now. So help on that, seriously requested. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Stephanie. I expect that we'll find more and more issue, but I guess it's maybe we start with the first list, let's say version 1, and we can, we can update it. So let's start with something that we have now. To have a clean version, and then we can keep the working with all those volunteers that you will lead, and to if we find other problems, so we can update the list. So I don't think that we should wait till we have the full list. I don't think it's kind of good idea, but just let's update as every time we find, and then we can have several versions of this list. Okay, okay, 5 minutes. Stephanie, I will really expect that you will continue working on this ICANN privacy issues, and also we have this privacy meeting, and hope that you will lead those two efforts, and I count on you. Okay, So, for any other business, we have a question about budgets that was raised by Bill. Bill, can you speak or... Bill Drake, can you speak? I think we, Bill cannot, I mean, I'm not sure if he can, if he can intervene or not. Yeah, we cannot hear you, Bill. I'm not sure what's the problem. Okay, so that's where Bill will try to re-enter again. Okay, so basically we try to cover as much issues as possible, at least to give guidance to our GNSO counselor for the motion on table, and also go through the several updates that they will get in Thursday, and hopefully they will update us as soon as possible, like regarding the GNSO review and so on. And hopefully also for the public comment, we can make it for the IANA transition process draft. So we have a statement open for comment by the end of this day. And hopefully if the non-commercial stakeholder group policy committee will endorse by tomorrow. So let's try again. Bill, can you hear us or not? Can you speak? Bill? Okay, I think Bill cannot intervene. So Bill, I'm not sure. We have just 2 minutes left. So if you try for. Okay. So if just you want, yeah, we can talk on the list. We covered several items, but if you have just two minutes, if you want to ask a question or you have a comment, please go ahead. So. Okay, so I don't see any comment, and I think people probably want to leave the call after 2 hours, so I'm not going to keep people much more. If there is no objection, I think we can adjourn the call for today. I want to thank everybody for joining and attending the call and participating. It's always a good opportunity in particular for newcomer, and also for any members to follow up what is happening in ICANN policy, and also to ask our general counselor what's going on, several working group, and so on. Thanks everybody, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. You may now stop the recording.